Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
Welcome to Point of View. Thank you so much for being with us. And it's our Wednesday edition of Point of View. And Tabi Singh, as usual, will be here. So my plea always, please start dialing in early. Send in those questions much earlier than 9 o'clock so that you can have a moment to go through them and then at least give you some, you know, some sage advice. So do that on 063-688-0959. You can give Tando a call, and then after that, you know, she'll call you back, or you can send a WhatsApp note, even a text for that matter, on 063-688-0959. We really have a lot. It's a jam-packed show, I've got to tell you. One of the things we're going to be discussing is the Postbank gold card. You know how many times we spoke about those SASSA cards? And it turns out Postbank says, not to worry, relax, it's all okay. If you don't have your new card, it's not a problem. The question then is, what was the fuss all about in the first place? That's the question. I think we do have answers to that, but we are going to have a conversation with the Postbank itself, and they're going to explain to us what actually happened there and what it means specifically to you, those of you who are on the new card, or those who are not able to get your new cards. You obviously have seen how the story has been developing of the missing policemen who were yesterday found and also identified by their family members. We spoke about the fact that the commissioner, police commissioner, had actually been on the scene and really taking the family through. So it's what had happened yesterday. Today, there was MinMac that was led by the Minister of the Police, Minister Senzo Mchunu, and other stakeholders, the premier of the province was also there. And one of the things they also touched on is obviously the death of the three policemen and obviously their discovery. Of course, that case is still ongoing, but the minister is on the line with us to give us more details 4 minutes after 8 o'clock. And we really appreciate you making the time for us, Minister. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening to you and good evening to the listeners.
Minister, let's just maybe also give context to the listeners what MinMac was actually meeting for.
Well, on a regular predetermined periods, we do meet with provincial executive members responsible for policing in their own provinces. This is a statutory body, legislated composition and functionality and so on. And normally we give reports of what would have been done since the last meeting. We last held our meeting in September, and we're giving them reports, including statistics, including the summit, the crime statistics of the 3rd of quarter, and then the policing summit that we held, and a number of other developments. But we also pick up issues of the day from them that are worrying them. Like today, we spend some time on forensic labs that are a pressure point, especially in KZN, but in all other provinces that don't have these facilities. It's a pressing matter, and we discuss it as well. And of course, a number of other updates on various like regulations by CIRA, and how far we've gone in terms of implementing the agreements with Metro. So a number of issues. That's what we discuss. All of us.
All right. I just want to touch on some of the items, and we won't go into the details, but you mentioned the fact that the issue of hotspots around the country has become quite a concern, and there are plans underfoot to deal with these places that are called hotspots, where, you know, you and I would know post a particular time we won't be able to go, or, you know, it's a no-go area at all, in fact, if you want to be safe.
Yes, almost each and every province has their hotspots, but at different levels.
Mm.
The major and historical one that is known in the Western Cape is Cape Flats.
Mm.
we actually have been moving parallel with that particular area, in the sense that it has been continuing. We have been also continuing to fight that situation on the side, but those people have never given up. Instead, they are known to be able to replicate this URS to whoever would be a gang leader, and then another one will emerge, or even gang leaders, and then others will emerge. So it's a matter that has been going on. Now, we're looking at ways of arresting that, and we're looking at going back to the Western Cape soon to have a report back on the group that we met last time, who were people who were concerned, and they come together and they drafted a presentation which made a lot of sense.
Yes.
We now need to take that further. In Gauteng, you have one in South Johannesburg. That's real hotspot. Rivoli, Eldorado Park, and those parts. And then you have Soshanguve. Then there are other places in between, but those two in Johannesburg, in Gauteng, Johannesburg and Tswane, they really are remarkable. There are others, of course, in Ekurhuleni, but better than these ones. Then you have KZN, you have Inanda, Wamashu, Inanda, Umlazi, and then a few other places strewn around the province. Then you have West Eastern Cape, Kabega, Umtata. So each of these four big provinces that are big on crime and criminality, you have their hotspots. That's the situation. And now we want to do something sustainable, something that we ourselves can sustain over time until we turn the corner. And we are going to do that. We are going to turn the corner.
Minister, you say that there is a plan underway, particularly with different sectors of government, and I'm not sure how many other stakeholders around GBV. How aligned will this be to the presidency's national strategic plan on gender-based violence? Is it going to be just you expanding a little bit more on your specific area, the policing element of this, of the national strategic plan by the presidency, or is it a completely different document?
What has happened, and I appreciate the question, we have a structure called JCPS. It is a justice and security cluster in the country. It reports to the JCPS cabinet committee, which reports to cabinet. Now, as part of that, as the JCPS as a whole has a secretariat, normally referred to it as a secretariat, but when there are issues in the country, the structure called NetJoint.
Yes.
This is of all relevant stakeholders at official level. Now, we approach the NetJoints as JCPS to say, look, the country's battling, and we ourselves are battling, government is battling, and people are battling this thing called the GBVNF. And it's going out of hand, difficult as it may be. But we have a plan, we have everything, we are fighting it, but it is just not impacting the way we would want it to impact, especially currently. Now, what is it that we can do so that we can turn the situation around, even if it happens, but at a minimal level? And so what are the root causes? How do we need to coordinate ourselves? Because the most important part was that we are less coordinated than we should be. First, you are talking about the presidential initiative and the council and all of that. The council is being established, the board is being established, it hasn't been fully established, and so they are not operational as yet. but they are in the process to get organized. In the meantime, GBV is intensifying. Now, we ourselves, we are different departments, social development and women and children, and then justice and then police. But the tendency is to say, what are police doing as if everybody is just looking at police. Police alone can't deal with the matter. It's a complex matter. It, most of GBV happens beyond, I mean, behind the closed doors, among people who know each other, even in love with each other. They turn against each other without giving notice and so on. And it's, and especially men turning against women, murdering them, and doing all sorts of things, like the one who appeared in court on in Richmond, where a boyfriend who has just been rejected turned on the ex-girlfriend at home, carrying a screwdriver, and then not just attacked the young woman, but went for eyes.
The mother as well.
Meaning he knew what he was doing and he was conscious about what he was doing. And I could see, even when he was requesting bail, applying for bail, that he was less remorseful. Mm. He was more concerned about bail and so on.
Mm.
And were happy that the bail was denied.
Mm-hmm.
So we are going to be aligning with the even the unfinished processes on the side of the council and all of that. And then we said, now it's time for government to act in whatever way. So we came together twice. We now have a plan that we will be announcing in the next few days, because it has now been completed. It features work streams of all the ministries, all the departments that are involved here. And one of the things we want to do is to close loopholes on the side of police alone. What happens when victims go and report? We find that there are a number of loopholes just on that alone, which gives the perpetrators an impression that there is no law, and another one will commit this and another one, because there is no law as far as they are concerned, when in fact they are referring to gaps and weaknesses. The same applies to justice. They will go, then they will be given bail, and sometimes easily, sometimes through loss of dockets and all related things. So we want to change the situation around on cases, tighten the whole of the value chain from when from women being encouraged to exercise their rights openly and confidentially. Confidentially, especially before the worst happens, to say I'm with my lover or husband or partner, and he beats me like every second day or every day. I'm afraid of for my life and so on. Find a way of those people for those people to be rescued, even though we know in some cases. People end up not wanting to be rescued. Yeah, they withdraw cases and all of that, but want to tighten the aspect that says once you open a case like this one, even if you withdraw, but the state will not withdraw, it will carry on and it will make that known that even if you no longer want to witness, but the statement that we have, whatever, the case will go on because it's there. Protection.
Minister,
so we want to look at all those things, tighten them up. But the other element, we ourselves are like working from offices too much. We're not out there in the public. When the public has demonstrated that they are rejecting this and they are organizing themselves and they are demonstrating and they are on WhatsApp and so on social platforms, we want to join them, we want to be together with them and fight this scourge on the streets, because it's clear in the courts, whatever, it's not enough. We need the streets.
Minister, if you can help me understand where the loopholes are, because my understanding was that that legislation was already in place where even if I decide to withdraw my charges, that the state would continue investigating and carry on with the case with or without my permission. Where are the loopholes that you speak of?
Loopholes are one, mm-hmm. even though I won't finish them.
Yes, of
course. Sometimes an investigating officer will bring a case for prosecution, but forgets or fails to cross a T. I'm not saying literally. I'm saying instead of putting a particular sentence in a particular way, they will put it otherwise. Instead of the prosecutor saying, no, go and correct this, then they will just keep quiet. And then they point it out in front of the magistrate and the case gets dismissed.
Okay.
And then this person gets freed.
Mm-hmm.
In some cases, it gets easy. It becomes very easy to bribe whoever is on their way. And they pose around saying that even if you go to report me, telling the woman that, the victim, I have friends in police and all of that. So we want to make it, even if you are friends to police, but we undermine that by supervising, making it known that the case has been opened, the investigator is so and so, and is monitored. And publicly monitored.
Gotcha.
In other words, we make known that there's this particular case is going to court on a particular, and we're monitoring it. We're DSD, we are women and children, we're police, we are justice, so that it doesn't just get lost on the way. There are easy wins. Which at the moment are loopholes, not necessarily in the law itself, but.
I get you. Which is why it's so important for your department to be working so closely with the Department of Justice, because that's where their efficacy would have to come in. You know, you can only arrest a person and when you hand it over, execution is actually up to scratch.
Yes, it is extremely important. Remember that the other thing that we are processing is the overhaul of the criminal justice system, which justice is leading. And for which we are very, very eager and can't wait for it to be completed, that particular process. It talks to correctional services. Why is it easy for people to get paroles only to commit crime thereafter? Why are they getting access to cell phones? What are the consequences for people who are managing prisons and so on? From the police side, there are a number of things that we need to tighten up from justice side, so all of us, it's the whole of the justice system in the country, and the aim or the objective is to say the justice system shouldn't give an impression that it is favoring those who are perpetrators and those who are committing crimes as opposed to victims. Let me make an example. It's something that has to do with us and other countries in southern Africa.
Mm-hmm.
When a car gets stolen from South Africa and then it gets taken to a neighboring country, there's difficulty getting that car, even if you know where it is and who is driving it, because there is this talk of a person being an innocent buyer, and there is less talk or no talk on somebody who is an innocent victim of an innocent buyer, so-called. Now, it's the same here. We need to balance things up, because the perception, and it is growing, that while there's nothing wrong with the rights of individuals, including suspects and all of that, but it shouldn't be like there's a general feeling in public out there that the government is interested in is the rights of the perpetrator, the rights of the abuser, as opposed to the victim. And it shouldn't be, justice should be balanced.
Yeah.
Everybody should feel accommodated and protected.
Yeah. The MEC of Transport in Gauteng has been threatening to close taxi ranks, particularly in Soweto, and stating obviously the issues of violence. The Premier today mentioned the issue of taxi violence. There is a perception that while we hear the police are dealing with the matter, the industry itself and those who want this crime to stop say, well, we are yet to see arrests. People just keep dying. Would this strategy of closing the ranks help your efforts in trying to deal with this taxi violence, or what are your thoughts on that?
We were invited by the Minister of Transport, Barbara Christie, who was having a meeting with the leadership of the taxi industry, and together with the MEC for Transport, Roads and Transport here in Gauteng. Now, when we got there, we're given an opportunity to speak, and what we wanted to find out is why is leadership of the taxi industry wanting to be supervised and policed? What vision do they have for the industry? Because they are not the only industry in South Africa. While you appreciate their contribution in terms of employment and transporting the people of South Africa as such, but why do they want to be policed? There is mining. Yes, there is things like Operation Balumkut because of illegal mining. Mm-hmm. But generally, we are not policing the Chamber of Mines and the other businesses. There is retail. We are not policing them. There is all the banking industry. We are not policing. Why must government police the taxi industry? One of the reasons is that the industry hasn't set itself out of criminality. It is associated with criminality. Izinkabi, in the form of Izinkabi, in the form of illegal activities.
Minister Mthuno? I don't know what's happened. The line looks quite alive. I don't know what's happened to the minister. But let's see if we can sort that out. I'll take a quick break and give him a chance to complete that. Otherwise, maybe we have the best that we could get from that line. Let's just take a quick break. I'll be back with more after this.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.